Go for it.
All right, I'd like to call the order to order of the May 7th, 2025 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, nobody by phone.
I'd like to make a motion that we excuse Jim Duggan.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All righty, so as far as tonight's agenda, I do have some general comments in addition, but nothing big. But any suggested changes to the agenda?
No, I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then minutes from last meeting? That would be from the March 5th meeting. Any comments?
I'm on there as present and absent. And I'm
yeah, it's already been changed.
Okay.
Okay. I move we adopt the minutes with that one change.
Okay. Do I have a second?
No second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. So, no public comments for this evening. All right, so old business. Greg, I know you had wanted the solar panel topic.
I finally figured out what my recommendation was.
And just for clarification for everybody, we have a hard stop at 6:30 because we do have an HPC legislative hearing. So anything tonight we're going to do as abbreviated as we can to make sure we stay within that 30-minute time frame.
Okay, yeah. What I did started several months ago is kind of look at a number of the different things that we had passed to see if there's some new technology that might be added to these things. And generally, our lighting ordinance, you know, everything looks good. But I did notice one thing on solar panels, which I finally remembered what it is that this is on 1536240, number B, when under definitions. At the very end, it says... systems that offset over 150% of the beneficiary's requirements for energy consumption on site are classified as commercial systems and are prohibited. So I did check on that, and in fact, 150% is still kind of a standard that's used in the United States. But one of my neighbors pointed out that the way this is written, if they're gone for one day and they generate more electricity, that actually is a prohibited system. So the only thing I recommend is to put the word annually after on site. So it reads, systems that offset over 150% of the beneficiary's requirements for energy consumption on site annually are classified as commercial systems and prohibited. Because yeah, okay. Right now it's open. I mean, you could, you know, if you exceed 150% in one day, technically under this, it would be prohibited.
Yep. So is it annually or on average?
I would say, well, you could say on average annually, but I think you have to have a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So people that go away for 3 months, you know, that don't have electricity on, are for some reason found to be, you know, prohibited. So it has to be annually. No, I think annually will take care. I don't even think you have to use the word average if you use annually. So that would be my only suggestion. I mean, we can make a formal thing tonight, or we could wait until next time to do that.
And where is this ordinance? Is it at 15?
It's this one right here.
No, is it? It's in 15?
Yes.
1536240. Yeah.
So, Beth, would this then require a hearing?
Jim?
I'm sorry.
The 15, would that require a hearing? I'm not
to put
sure.
One word
yeah,
in it?
15 would require a report and review and report and a consistency statement
mm-hmm. for all of 15 because it's just yeah. regarding
Well, that would just be my suggestion, because right now it's a pretty nebulous thing.
Yeah, it's correcting an error. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why solar panels is in dummy. Well, that's a good point, but that's where it is right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering why it's in dummy to begin with, and if it should be moved.
Well, do you want to hold off and then raise that question in addition to this very, very minor wording change?
I'm fine with either.
And try to package the whole thing.
The attorney, I'm just not sure why it's yeah. zoning, or if we should just make a text amendment and move it away from zoning.
Yeah, so counsel, do you feel like there's any reason to think that this could be outside of 15?
Like solar
I don't have the code in front of me where it might want to ask the director of development and compliance.
I mean, as far as I'm aware, all the solar ordinances should be in chapter 15, so they're mostly zoning ordinances.
Yeah.
And this is enforced by you, too.
That we don't really, I don't really inspect from a building perspective. It's engineered. They inspect it on their own. So it's really like fire code and zoning for us. So I think that's why it's in 15. If we're going to add different kinds of ordinances that are beyond zoning, then it shouldn't be in 15.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's zoning. I mean, I think it's...
So it should stay here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would, you know, again, recommend that somewhere along the line we just add the word annually into this particular definition component or paragraph.
So we're talking about a report, review, and consistency statement for one word.
For one word.
Yeah. But again, it is correcting what could potentially be an error.
If somebody wanted to enforce this on the way it's written, it could be, you know, pretty bad.
Are you actually amending anything, or are you... I mean, does it change the substance of what's...
No, no, it doesn't change it. And you know, I think you and I wrote this together in the first place, but it says system...
Can you get it up on the screen so we can see
okay.
Yeah, I need to see what...
1536-240.
Yes, you're right.
36-240.
Look at that new website.
Which section is it for?
1536.
No, like the A, B.
Oh, B is the definition.
The last sentence of B.
Mm-hmm. So I think the point here is just the fact that it says can't exceed 150%.
But it doesn't give a time.
Yeah.
The last sentence of B?
The last sentence of B, I just suggest adding the word annually after on-site.
I'm still trying to find there. Are you talking about the sentence that ends B that starts with systems?
Yes.
All right, where do you want to insert annually?
Annually should be after on-site. Or you could add it, let's see, or add annual before beneficiary.
Allow me to read it, please.
Correct. Take a look at the sentence before that where it says 150 again, and it talks about being documented through utility bills, which are monthly. So I don't know.
It's just that I'm concerned that somebody might go away for a summer and technically exceed 150% if they got their solar panels running. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I thought about saying monthly, but then I thought, no, I've got friends, including myself, who tend to go away for more than 1 month. Mm-hmm. It's a trivial add, but I think it corrects something that could be...
Well, the trouble is, it's not just... I mean, I'm with you. It seems ridiculous to go through all that effort for one little word. If that one little word does change the impact of that provision.
There's simply no way of measuring this without that word or some time frame.
I understand that.
Instantaneous.
Okay. We don't measure this anyway. This is something that we actually, I mean, this is under the definition, but this is not something we do in reality. It's the yearly statements from people. We approve them from a zoning perspective when they come in, when they put the actual...
Right.
Or if they add batteries and things like that. So that would be the only time we would catch that, oh, this system is too large, this is a commercial system, would be on initial permitting. There would be no way for us to follow
up. Why do you even want to put the word annual in there? I mean, doesn't it...
Because it's just wrong right now. I personally don't care. It's just that... If somebody wanted to make, see, it prohibits something. If somebody wanted to make a stink, and let's say they didn't like the solar panels on the person on the house next to them, they could come in and say, no, it's prohibited because you're exceeding 150%.
So if any given month, if it exceeds 150%, are they in violation?
And the way it is right now, they're in violation because there's simply no way, no time frame specified as to when you measure this. Now, the 150% is there for a number of different reasons.
As far as I'm aware, that's not allowed at all anyway, that residential systems are not allowed to exceed a certain amount. That's like
150%.
Not a local law. That's a...
And I did check on that. It's not a North Carolina law. It is laws in some states, 150%. North Carolina has a kind of guidance. You see these professional associations that make this particular guidance. The reason I think this is important is because the electrical companies don't want to be forced to do buybacks. And so they they're very cautious about this particular issue because they don't want people to have solar panels that even exceed 100%.
Yeah, that's what I was aware
of. Yeah, so... Right. So this, this is more concerned. The only reason I raise this issue is because I had a neighbor saying, "Oh my goodness," and then I started thinking about it. And so if I didn't like that neighbor and I know they go away for 2 months, I say, "Hey, wait a moment, it's prohibited," and take it down.
Well, you don't know that unless you see their utility bill. It shows.
Well, I could probably force the issue and see the utility bill. I mean, or make a complaint or something like that, and then you'd have to go out and search it. So I'm just suggesting a very, very simple solution is add one word annually to it. And, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but...
Bethany, when this is permitted, aren't the solar panels that are put up, their capacity is calculated based upon the historical usage of the beneficiary? In other words, if I were at one point, and actually I'm still looking at battery backup, calculating my usage, all right, and talking to the people who do the installation, they're always asking, saying, well, how much do you use? What capacity do you want? In other words, do you want to run your HVAC system? Do you want to run your washer, dryer, all your 220 appliances? That uses more, and therefore that's how you base what you put up, either in batteries or solar panels. So I believe usage is based upon the installation, right? So you're calculating what's the maximum amount of power I need on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Probably on a daily basis is actually what's required, I think. And therefore, you size your unit, whether it's batteries or solar panels, to what you use. So but I think it's referring to not absolute amount of electricity generated and then what's used, and you take the difference. I think you install based on what the usage is anticipated to be.
Right. And regardless of what happens.
Irregardless of what happens.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that probably nobody here has 150% of their usage, quite frankly. I mean, I've priced out mine, and mine's going to be at 40%. I really don't care. This is probably making a much more complicated thing than I expected it would. I just thought it was something because my neighbor raised the issue of putting the word annually in there to define that, what it is. But what you're suggesting is that when it's installed, it's not allowed to be installed at a more 150%,
correct,
and therefore it becomes a moot point.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'm fine with that interpretation, too.
And is it safe, counsel, from a standpoint of what's defined today to have that interpretation?
Sure, you can have any interpretation you want, as long as it holds up in court.
That helps.
I don't see any problem even if the way it is. I think we're stumbling a little bit blind. On one hand, you don't want to go through all that work for one word. On the other hand, we're hypothecating how it works out based on installation and expected output. I'm curious if, and it may not, I'm not trying to push on the spot, but I'm curious if there's anything in the state building code that would help us out on
that. Prove it through your documented power cut use of
goods,
which would be an advantage, right?
It would be an advantage, and so you're not allowed. So they wouldn't allow this anyway.
But when they come in for a permit, she's not going to.
Well,
but
if somebody
no, I mean, it's not legal for them to have anything above that.
So it's being monitored. That's the issue. If it's not being monitored, then
it's just if somebody complains that they don't want solar panels on somebody. But,
yep.
I really don't care.
So we're utilizing this then as a permitting process, not a monitoring process.
Yeah, I do no monitoring.
That's fine. Then we don't need to worry.
As far as I'm aware, we've never done any annual monitoring of solar.
Okay.
So, I'm not saying that might not become a thing in the future.
No, my only concern is that if somebody complains and they don't like a neighbor's solar things, that they might be able to hold this against us. I understand that it's a permitting process the way it's written right now, but if somebody comes in and complains and says, look, you know, it's more than 150% of their usage, and I can document that.
Yeah, but it doesn't say usage, it says requirement. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings you back to the permitting.
True.
What you're required to have is so many kilowatts, and that's what your system is designed for. What you use day to day, or what you don't use when you're away for the summer, is a different thing from your requirement.
I think that's the point, yep.
So that's a, you know, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so we're going to leave it based, the fact is you're going to utilize this as part of your approval process, and then as long as you have the necessary documentation, then everybody's good. Okay. All right. We good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Tony, any concerns?
Oh, we're good.
Okay. Joe, you good?
I'm good, yeah.
All right. The only new business topic was impacts for oceanfront property development. Admittedly, this is something that I teed up from a personal standpoint, being oceanfront. Last year, if you all remember, and we didn't have anything to do with it, it kind of happened outside of us, but there was this movement from this static line of vegetation, 65 feet back from a standpoint, you couldn't have development. And then we moved to the to a more liberal interpretation, and that is based primarily on our repeated beach renourishment efforts. The fact that dune was growing, we were showing consistency in replenishing, and so we were then allowed to be able to move to the first line of stable vegetation.
And that just changed last year? Because I thought it was like that for years.
No, it was just last year, right?
No, so we used, up until 2021, we had a development line, which was based off of our perpetual beach renourishment line.
Because I remember when we put our swimming pool in, John had to come and mark where the first line of vegetation was.
Well, yeah, you always have to.
You always do, no matter what? Okay, all right.
Yeah, you have to mark that line every time, no matter what, where, based on where you take the setbacks for a while. With CAMA, it changes. Our development line expired. We are no longer allowed to use that. And then you have your two line. You have the perpetual, which the static line, as everybody knows it, is really the pre-project vegetation line. So it's basically the same thing as the first line, stable natural vegetation, but before we started doing beach renourishment. So it's a lot further landward.
Mm-hmm.
Once the development line expired, you have to use the more restrictive line, which of course for us is going to be that pre-project line, and then you got to be 60 foot back of that.
Okay.
What was happening is 60 foot back from that line is very restrictive. A lot of times it goes to the road and people had nowhere to build whatsoever. So that's why we did the beach management plan. That allows us to have a static line exemption, which takes that 60 foot setback off of the first line of stable natural vegetation. That's because we went and proved that we have a stable contract that we have for years doing this beach renourishment, and then it goes on for several years. So basically, we went and proved that to the CRC. We now have that exception, so it changes where we can take that setback off of.
Okay.
So now the big question is, okay, now what can happen in that area? Well, you find that despite that change, we also have town-imposed restrictions, both with easements as well as development line, and it's really just very kind of cloudy what happens with that 60 foot, you know, back from the first line of natural vegetation to where homes typically lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it deviates all down the oceanfront, right? There's areas where there wouldn't be much gap, and then there's areas where there would be significant gap. And we've been trying to research and understand more about where this whole easement, you know, came from, and the development line came from, and so forth. And lo and behold, you know, we all think of CAMA as kind of being the kind of the more regulatory environment as far as what you can do on the oceanfront, yet these are town-imposed restrictions that really are much more strict than what CAMA would allow.
So what he's talking about is the beach and nourishment easement. It is local ordinance. but based on basically where we don't want development to go. And you know from your pool situation that I think you and Connie were one of the last pools to go into.
Yeah,
And then council decided after the next one, after you guys, we were like, no more pools in the easement. So we officially decided no more pools in the easement. Nothing is to go into that easement at all, except for beach accesses. So that's what they decided back then. I can't remember when did we see when that memo was 21? I don't remember. Anyway.
But there is that other.
Was in that beach walk community where we had a litigation come from with that pool situation, is because that easement line cuts in very close and is very restrictive just in that one kind of block of beach walk. So if you look, and what he's talking about is this specific ordinance, which is 11.20.010, ocean front deck encroachment. So this is the ordinance that we wanted to discuss or have you guys discuss tonight or probably next month, most likely at this point, because we got 7 minutes left. if you read through this ordinance, it is very specific to the time frame it was in and what the rules applied at that time. It is no longer relevant in today's world. It is specific to that particular block. And it just refers to the CAMA 60-foot setback, which now we have two CAMA 60-foot setbacks, so it's not very specific. I think we need to tweak this ordinance. We need to find out what council wants in the way of oceanfront decks, which right now they're saying 250 square feet is allowed within that encroachment, but only within 15 feet. But I think we need to kind of tweak where the setback line is within 5 feet. So you probably need to read it about 500 times before you kind of get.
Yeah, the more we got into it, the more questions.
Yeah,
it's very, very confusing.
It's
and
one of those ordinances that the intent of it was specific for that time and what was happening in that time, and it no longer really applies. Lots of it no longer applies right now.
Yeah. So all we're asking tonight, all we wanted to do was tee it up, just so that you guys got a better understanding of kind of what it's all about. In advance of June, if you guys could read that and
it would be nice if we had some maps too. To look
at. I've tried to get the map. I can get maps for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you talk about, I don't live on the beach, so this is, you know.
So you can see where that.
Yeah, goes. Yeah. So I understand lines and first vegetation, but it'd be nice to have a map.
And where this whole thing came from is how you can see for whatever reason why it cuts so deep in that one block of beach walk, and that's where. The litigation came from. They found out it was actually mapped incorrectly, and they pushed it out again. And so it's kind of a weird situation. But basically, council decided at this time that decks are, as long as they're detached from the structure, they're movable. They're not really a big deal as long as it's under 250 square feet. Sure, go ahead and put it in the easement. That's kind of what they were saying. But they put some stipulations on there. And I think that's kind of what we need to tweak. Do we still want decks in the easement? And if we do, what are the new stipulations based on the new CAMA guidelines that we want to put in there? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like I said, if you guys can just kind of, if you guys can just read through it a few times, and it'll take a few times to kind of even digest what we're talking about.
And you can email me throughout the month, and we'll kind of work through it, because it does. Me and Byron had to talk through this a lot of times before we kind of both were understanding.
I think a map would be really, really useful.
That John was talking about with council about when he proposed this ordinance, and I actually listened to his reasons for it. So I can also give you guys those minutes so that you can see what the intent was at that time.
Good. All right. So any other questions on that? Okay. So, Beth, again, if you would have that as a carryover topic for June.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, anything else anybody wants to cover for this evening?
Nope, we're good.
We are going to have a June meeting then, right?
We are going to have a June meeting. Okay. All righty. So, do I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
Do Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.